tour the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
That's embedded. Look at that thing. That is the hardest piece of poo I've ever seen.
Hardworking men and women.
Put that anywhere, eh?
Who earn an honest living. Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Well, look at that.
Get eat off that thing. Or you can crap in it and set it afire.
Now, get ready.
To get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
That's what happened.
Gather around, my friends. Tis the season to go back to one of our favorite places, the McCluskey Clubhouse at the Fair Oaks Farm in Indiana, for our first ever holiday extravaganza.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, there you go.
On the menu, juicy turkey.
Ah, damn it!
Cranberries on the side.
Gently squeeze it.
It's like a little zit.
All the wine you can drink.
A little more wine, perhaps.
Uh-oh, look at that. Flew right out of the bunghole and hit the camera.
Plus, that time-honored holiday classic, the Nutcracker Suite.
Oh, there's a lot of pain. Oh, man, I'd give, like, a lot of money for some stirrups. Oh, God.
Denominational, all-inclusive, festive time of year. Ho, 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 and welcome to the first ever Dirty Jobs Holiday Extravaganza. Ho, ho!
No, who are we kidding, right? Been wanting to do this for years. Network has been asking for something big for the end of the year. We were going to pull out all the stops, but there have been some budget cuts. Well, all around. Sign of the times, I suppose. I've got to get this back by midnight or they'll charge me for a second day. We did get an elf, which is nice. I suppose one gets what one pays for. What we do have, however, in copious quantity are memories. Memories of the men and women who we've met over the years, who best embody the holiday spirit. And we're going to reconnect with a few of them tonight, and we're going to start with baggage handlers, because let's face it, if you want to get home to roast your chestnuts on an open fire with friends and family across the country, somebody has to do the heavy lifting. I read somewhere that bags fly for free. Let me tell you something. Take it from Santa. There's nothing free in this world. Bags are heavy, as you'll soon see. Are you a talking elf?
The holidays can be a stressful time to travel, especially if you lose your luggage, have to walk around Grandma's house in your underwear. Shane Petty at the Kansas City Airport is going to show me how to prevent that from happening.
So how's it work? You grab a bag, you look at a tag, figure out where it's going?
Yes, it.
Indiana?
Indianapolis.
That's close.
Close.
Which one's that going?
It'll be this one right here.
Well, so far, I think I'm getting it.
Well, grab another bag and I'll tell you where it goes. Besides that one.
Sorting baggage. How hard could it be?
That's going to Indianapolis. This looks like it might be going to Denver.
Right, so we don't want that one because that goes up there.
There's 71 flights a day into this terminal at Kansas City International. That's 71 departures and 71 arrivals to sort. Each baggage handler is responsible for 9 flights per shift. But handlers who finish their flights early help others with theirs.
How many versions of you are down here?
5 of us. I have Baltimore bags on here.
Right.
They're going through Indy.
Why is that not on the board?
Because it's on somebody else's board. When all these bags come off in Indy, they'll take those bags, put it on the plane going to Baltimore.
Tampa. We don't want that.
Yeah, you don't?
No, we want that.
Yeah, we want that.
Sure we do.
It goes right over there. We said it over here.
It's a confusing business, Shane, I gotta say. I just want people to understand the miracle of actually getting your bag.
It's an, yeah.
It's a, I mean, I'm thinking, how could it go wrong? The real question is, how can it go right? So where is the proper spot for this Baltimore?
Back on the belt.
During the busy holiday season, the airlines can service over 2.5 million passengers a day in America alone, which puts extra pressure on baggage handlers.
How you doing? Mike.
Andy.
Pleasure.
This is good right here.
Pleasure's all yours. You're going to load some bags.
What'd you just hit me with?
Knee pads. Don't need those.
When a man hits you with knee pads.
Hop on in.
All of a sudden, it's becoming very clear to me how I'm going to use these knee pads.
Okay, obviously you can't stand up, unfortunately. Obviously. Once they start the belt, it doesn't stop till we're done.
All right, so the bags have started, and it seems to be more of them than I thought. We got two guys down there feeding them to us, and Andy, is this basically how it goes?
This is basically how it goes.
All right, how do you slow this thing down?
Do you work faster?
This is awful.
If you look at it from the standpoint of beats working in a factory or something like that.
I don't know, man. You're in the belly of a plane throwing people's personal items here and there and everywhere. People are watching this right now thinking, gosh, should I bring the extra pair of shoes? Don't bring the extra shoes.
Now, if you were a real new guy, you'd probably get yelled at about now.
Well, feel free to yell at me. I can take it. What am I doing wrong?
You're doing it right. You're just not doing it fast enough. It wouldn't be uncommon if this flight was full, especially toward Christmas, that we would put 150 in there.
So, man, how many bags have you seen in your life?
I'd hate to even imagine. A few.
I would say so.
Watching those men work so hard makes Santa a little thirsty. And really, where would the holidays be without a little good cheer? Santa wanted a butler. He got a barsky. Maybe now he can get a little wine. And make a little more wine, perhaps. Maybe some wine that's actually drinkable from our good friends over at... Where were we that time?
Starmont.
Starmont Winery. Ho, ho, ho!
Long before you ever take a sip of that fine wine with your turkey dinner, there's been a complex process which involves harvesting and separation of the grapes, then the pressing and fermentation, and eventually aging the wine before it's bottled. Sean Foster of Starmont Winery is going to show me how to bring the holiday spirit, or spirits, right to your table.
So we're pumping right now, what is it, a Chardonnay?
Chardonnay.
Does this work? This looks like the gas station, basically.
Yeah, so it's called us a filling wand, and goes in through the bunghole.
I beg your pardon?
That's called a bunghole.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's where the bung goes.
What's the bung?
The bung is the seal that seals the barrel.
You're a winemaker.
Yeah.
You wouldn't pull my leg.
Not kidding.
I'm shoving the filling wand into the bunghole.
At this very moment. Need to make sure that we don't overfill the barrel. And
you're basically shining a light into the bunghole.
That's pretty much what we're doing.
To make sure the fluid inside the barrel doesn't come flying out of the bung.
Right.
Oh!
There we go.
Oh, I put a head on it.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than a head on your bung. Full.
There you go. That.
Oh, dear. Sorry.
First barrel, mostly full.
That's the idea, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So, go ahead and fill its mate here.
Violate another bunghole.
Yep.
That goes in like so.
And stop.
Oh, dear. Uh-oh. Look at that. Flew right out of the bunghole and hit the camera. That's awkward. What'd I just cost you here?
Yeah. Probably about $10.
That was a $10 glass of wine?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is going to be good. Hello, bunghole.
Okay, whoa.
Dope.
That's full.
I am so sorry. I'll get around for the house.
I don't know about you all, but I think this is going pretty well. When we come back, we'll find another festive corner of the McCloskey Bunkhouse, and the show will continue up to Oregon for some cranberries and then over to Pennsylvania for some gourds. And finally, of course, we'll figure a way to get the staples out of this dog's head. There's a good dog. Yes, you are. Well, there you go. See, no staples.
Coming up.
Well, you look like an elf.
It's time to talk turkey.
Romero, what happened here?
It's dead bird.
It's our first ever warm and fuzzy holiday special.
Here she comes.
Oh, geez.
You're ready.
Coming right at you at full gallop.
Oh, there's a lot of pain, but it's exciting and it's fun, but there's a lot of pain.
Welcome back to the first ever Dirty Jobs Holiday Extravaganza. Noonan! You know, studies indicate an unmistakable and exponential rise and a clear and present correlation between an individual's willingness to creatively decorate his or her home slash bunkhouse with heightened levels of holiday cheer. And that's true. I wouldn't make it up. I do recall vividly the first time I went to Meadowbrook Gourds and got a look at this little beauty. Holy crap, I said to myself, what better manifestation could there possibly be for Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or what have you than a hollowed out gourd with a light on the inside of it? Give this a look and see if you don't agree. These stripes are solids.
Neither.
Meadowbrook Gourds in Carlisle, Pennsylvania is the largest maker of handcrafted gourds in the world. They sell over 150,000 crafted gourds a year, and half of those are sold in the holiday season between August and December.
What do they look like before they're cleaned out?
You pull any of it out or just
go right in with it? The water itself, you want to have a good grip on it, or it's actually going to fly against the wall. That's what happens. A lot of pressure behind it. We have anywhere from 1,600... 1,900 pounds of pressure.
Gotta get your hand out of there fast.
It hurts.
Yeah, it does.
What's it worth to you, basically, to wash out the inside of the gourd?
This one here, you're gonna get about 27 cents a piece to wash out. So if you wash 50 of them, right there, you're already at $13.
Yeah.
50 of them should take about 15 to 20 minutes. Some of these gourds pay over $1 a piece, depending on the price of the gourd.
Okay.
What are these going to be, by the way?
This product here is actually going to be an angel or a snowman. It's for QVC.
I know QVC. Welcome back, everybody. Our next item, thank you, Dave, is being brought to me right now. As you can see, it's a Santa Claus made out of a gourd. It's a good-looking Santa. You get a nice tight shot here. You can see Santa's actually knotted off. And here we have a scarecrow head. Trademark corn jutting from underneath his hat. And he's smiling. It is difficult, nay, impossible, to find an unhappy gourd here at Meadowbrook. We've seen Frosty many times. You know, the corn cob pipe, button nose, couple eyes made out of, well, in this case, two small slits. They didn't go with the coal, but the top hat is there. You can get the pear for $38.29, and you can also spread that out in 9 convenient payments of $1.09. Say hello to Angela. Angela is an angel, and I think it's obvious at a glance. There's no mistaking this little beauty or what she's all about. Just take a look at that face. She's $46.99. How do you say no to a heavenly host at this time of year?
14 ball in the side pocket. That is unfortunate, but perhaps fortuitous, you see. To really get the right level of holiday spirit, you can't rely just on decorations. You have to have the right food. And what food is more ripe for the holidays than cranberries? You see, they're red, like the pool table. Oh, Santa loves a good segue.
Ron Poole owns Cape Blanco Cranberry Farm in Port Orford, Oregon, where it's harvest time.
So we'll string all of these together.
There's basically two ways to harvest cranberries, wet or dry. Dry harvesting uses a revolving toothed rake machine that looks kind of like a huge lawnmower. Wet harvesting typically removes about 98% of the fruit. With dry, it's only 80%. And with dry harvesting, you don't have the fun of standing around in ice cold water all day.
State of the art. 21st century.
Okay, Mike, now take your rope and put it through the hole in the flat part of the boom board.
Hole in the flat part of the board.
Yep, on the back side there.
Got it?
Well, you'll want to take your end, walk out towards the bog and down to me, but stay out of the unbeat fruit.
Outside of the stick.
Yeah, outside of the stick.
It's hard to imagine, but Ron usually does this job by himself.
Our destination is the elevator. It just basically looks like a set of stairs going up to nowhere.
We have it captured. We're ready for a truck.
You got a truck?
We have a truck. Yeah, bring it a little closer, Dad, so we hit the middle. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and back up under it again.
A pump sends the water through these jets, which push the fruit onto the elevator.
And you're clear of the paddles. And that's just about the speed that we're looking for as well.
Americans consume about 400 million pounds of cranberries every year. 20% of those during the holiday season.
Come on, cranberries.
About 95% of cranberries are processed into products like juice drinks, sauce, and sweetened dried cranberries. The remaining 5% is sold fresh to consumers.
I've made a little collection here of berries that you don't want to let go by you. This is what we take out.
What's wrong with this one?
If you gently squeeze it.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually beginning to ferment, so they get juice inside of them from that.
It's like a little zit. Thanks. Sorry.
Stripes or solids, applesauce or cranberry sauce, white meat or dark meat. In the end, the holidays are really about choices. And when we come back, we'll make them all for you. And then Barsky Elf here will chew my food and feed me like a mother bear. That probably won't happen.
Oh, yeah, it will.
Sweet.
Coming up.
You're going to suck the season out.
That's correct.
It's Turkey Surprise on the menu today. And I'll be honest.
I squeeze, you suck.
Always wanted to be a farmer.
It's not my favorite dish.
Come on now.
In a perfect world, everybody would have a Barsky Elf when it comes to food preparation. Of course, the world isn't perfect, and the business of getting our food to the plate is an immensely complicated chore around the holidays. Nobody knows that better than Tom Turkey. Nice work.
His breath is terrible.
The turkey is the traditional centerpiece of a holiday meal. So, when everyone else might be thinking about stuffing or cranberries, there's only one thing on the mind of a turkey farmer.
Because this is how we're going to suck this
in. Whoa. I came to Oakdale Farms in Kensington, Minnesota, to find out where holiday turkeys come from. Paul Nelson may have taken us one step farther back than we needed to go.
What's this? This is where I'm collecting the semen into.
Why is that in your mouth?
So it creates suction. To get it into the jar.
You're going
to
suck the semen out of her.
That's correct. Are you ready?
Is the bird ready?
We'll see. So you pinch it off there and then squeeze from underneath. He's done. See, your semen's going through this one, but you're creating a vacuum through this hole. So they're connected separately.
So the possibility for the semen to come flying from the turkey right down your throat is slim.
Slim. That's why I told you to bring water. We're going to bring this up to the hen barn and inject it into the hens.
We don't freeze it or either you're
right
away?
No, we have to use it right away. It doesn't keep.
Do it again.
Okay. Pull his tail back.
Oh, dear.
In actuality, if we were to let them do it naturally, the hen's oviduct will come out, and he just basically drops it on.
He just drops his semen.
Just drops it. But we're not doing it that way.
No.
No.
No, no. We've got a straw.
Right. I squeeze, you suck.
Always wanted to be a farmer.
Okay.
Weirdest thing I've done in a while.
Next, it's off to the hen barn, where it's date night for some of these lucky ladies.
Look at that, gobble juice only. That's great.
Squeeze with your legs a little bit. Right there's the oviduct hole where the eggs are.
Uh-huh.
There's the poo hole.
All right.
Watch out for the poo hole.
Yes,
go always. Go in there.
Uh-huh.
Don't hit the poo hole.
There you go.
And that's the goods?
That's the goods. Squeeze with your legs.
Ah, damn it!
That's
a little bit on your leg there.
A little bit.
Ah, damn it!
Ah, damn it!
I dropped my sperm.
You can take a new one.
So what you're telling me is you hold on to this the whole time.
Yep. The whole time.
Ah! Sorry.
Oop, you just shot your load.
I'm dropping loads right and left. First time that's ever happened. To me. Damn.
Am I getting it right?
Yep.
God, look at that nasty looking eye. Get out.
That is foul.
You got a little bit on your leg there.
Damn it! What could be more festive than the sight of a giant sippy straw being used to suck the semen out of the rectum of a condemned turkey? Ho, ho, ho! Santa's seen some things, but that takes the cake. I need that a bit more well done. Ho, ho, ho.
Sometimes the stress of the holidays is just too much for turkey. We went to KO, Texas, to take a look at the not-so-festive side of the season.
Romero? What happened here?
You don't know what it is? It's dead bird.
Well, I pretty much had figured that out, but I'm wondering what happened to him.
Just died. How? Died by himself.
They just died on his own, huh?
Yeah. You got a certain number, they're going to die here.
Again,
they're not going to make it.
How many do we have in here? In this,
we got about 14,000 birds.
Well, it's not bad, one out of 14,000. Are there more?
There's more around. You have to go look at them, pick them up.
Well, is that part of the job that you
do,
too?
It is. It is.
How many?
It's a daily task.
Oh, Romero. Smells a little better out here. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 dead turkeys.
Got 7.
Where do we take 7 dead turkeys?
Going to the composting pile. It's at the end of the farm.
Oh, God. What in the hell is this?
We put the birds, the dead birds here on layers, and then we cover them with litter.
Litter?
Litter, and then they start the process of decomposing.
What is litter?
This.
This is litter?
Manure, yeah.
Oh, it's manure. What am I standing in here?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, it's all the drainage from the turkeys, from dead turkeys, liquid, blood, all the moisture coming out.
Wait a minute.
See, that one is blood. See, you can see it there.
This all looks like tar to me. That's blood. Oh, yeah. Oh, crap. This is liquid turkey. This is a turkey that's turned into, a milkshake, a turkey shake. In the end, you wind up with a fertilizer that people actually pay for. But for my money, it's still a turkey shake.
Santa says all good things to those who wait, and Santa's been waiting. Much better, Bosky Elf. Much better. Ho, ho, ho. When we come back, the Thanksgiving turkey will give way to the Christmas goose, and some dromedaries will stop by for a little holiday humping. Should be fun. You really are talented.
Every year, the president formally pardons a turkey and spares it from ending up as Thanksgiving dinner. In past years, pardoned turkeys were flown to Disneyland, where they served as grand marshals of the park's annual Thanksgiving Day parade, and then lived out the rest of their lives at Frontierland.
Welcome back. I should say to the first and last, I would imagine, Dirty Jobs holiday extravaganza. It occurs to me that no celebration of the holidays really could hope to be complete without spending a fair amount of time on the importance of food. No. And given that, I think we're just going to keep running with what we got. And by running, I mean quite literally running. We'll be chasing geese up in Ohio. Fantastic, Dirty Job. And since this turkey's goose is already cooked, seems like a sensible thing to do. No? That's good help. Yes, Santa's good elf. Yes, you are. Santa's favorite elf.
In England, around the time of Charles Dickens, geese were plentiful, and these birds were often served for holiday meals. Unfortunately, by the 1960s, the Canada goose, one of the most common species of geese, was at risk of extinction. Now, due to changes in wildlife policies, the Canada goose population is thriving, but they still need to be carefully monitored through annual bird banding. So today, in the spirit of the holidays, rather than eating these birds, we'll be giving them an attractive gift, a lovely bird band.
Hello.
Well, obviously, our helicopter's in the air, which is ironic because our birds are on the ground.
Birds are out in the marshes over that group of cattails.
Yeah?
We're going to have to cut out through here. The other crew coming from the other side.
How deep is this?
Well, it's vegetation, so it can't be too deep.
The Canada goose is notoriously bad at accepting gifts. But that little quirk won't get in the way of our holiday generosity.
We're going to try and flush him out.
We'll be giving a thoughtful gift to each one of these birds, whether they like it or not.
Go for the youngsters.
Youngsters. It's a workout. Met a lot of animals. Done a lot of weird things. Chasing a geese through a swamp. Not the dirtiest and not the weirdest. But definitely, in terms of cardiovascular, right in the top one.
First things first, we need to sex this bird.
Sex the bird? Okay, good.
Before the goose gets our Birdman gift, we get to know him or her a little better.
I'll show you one time and then...
I've seen this routine. I know that's a boy.
What makes you think that's a boy?
I had a 50-50 shot.
You had a 50-50 shot. Well, there isn't anything there. Just say that that's a boy.
Well, it's a sad boy.
Where's the bands?
We're going to band you, little girl. Holy smokes.
Yep.
Ow. What's the sharp thing that's slid through my pancreas?
You got to be a little aggressive.
Look, I have a bird pinned between my thighs, and I've nearly got my thumb in at the bottom. How much more aggressive do you want me to be? Yeah, actually...
See that?
Oh, dear. Bring me Big Bird. I've been dying to see what makes that thing tick. That was the goose, I swear to God. You bad goose.
And so the crotchety old bird gives us a little gift of its own making. As this somewhat warped holiday tale draws to a close.
I want so badly to go home.
Oh, you fool, Dog may be man's best friend, but Santa needs something a bit more mythical. Come on, eat it. Good boy.
About 42 miles northeast of Anchorage, Alaska, you'll find the 60-acre Williams Reindeer Ranch, where about 130 of Santa's mythical creatures frolic on the frozen tundra, along with assorted elk, moose, buffalo, and during tourist season, thousands of camera-toting looky-loos hoping to answer the age-old question, do reindeer really know how to fly?
Larry.
What about it, Mike?
Where are you from?
Alabama.
Well, that's what I heard. A guy from Alabama. So you're the one buying?
Buying some reindeer today.
Come on, man. What do you do with reindeer in Alabama? Really?
We help sign out.
Okay.
We exhibit them with sign out.
You're just saying that because I'm dressed like a freaking elf.
Well, you look like an elf.
I'm having a day, Larry. I'll level with you. What are you looking for specifically in these reindeer?
Young ones that we can train. We hook them to the sleigh.
Fly.
Mike.
I'm trying to go with the metaphor.
You're going to see one fly today. I guarantee.
Sure. Fly right through me. What are the odds of us actually getting one of these beasts in here for up close and personal encounter?
Well, what we say is, we're ready. Here she comes.
Oh, geez.
You're ready. Oh. There you got her. Oh, not yet. Now we got her.
Sound just pure, still there, don't move, so I don't actually gently stick you.
To make sure the reindeer are healthy, veterinarian Sabrietta Holland takes a blood sample to test for disease.
Good.
Then they're tagged for identification purposes.
There you go. All done.
And off you go. All right, what's the road?
It's got to watch your face that sometimes I'll...
Come around with the antler and pull your eye out. Catch you right here and pull you around.
Any body orifice.
Any orifice you typically want to keep the reindeer... antler out of, yeah.
Yes. You.
Good.
Here, like this is. Fly away. Uh-oh.
Things didn't go well, Mike.
Come here, baby.
Oh, there you go. Could I?
You want to catch this one, Mike?
I think so.
Okay, get him the big one.
Oh, geez.
Well, somebody has to reach in there and pull him out.
Who could we get?
You're doing pretty good there, Mike.
Don't eat. Okay, a little help.
Oh, look out.
Perfect. Oh, geez.
Look out. No, sorry.
Whoa.
We're done.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my boy.
That's a bad dog. Tryptophan makes Santa sleepy. When we come back, pipe organs and camels. Ho, ho, ho.
Coming up.
Well, like I mean it.
Well, like I mean it, huh?
Yeah.
Getting an organ ready for a holiday concert. You've got to be gentle.
This is a wee pipe right here. You've got to be careful.
But firm.
But this big son of a...
You know, people are different, but to me, nothing personifies the holidays more than music. Really, without music, what would this season sound like? Barsky off a little tune, if you would. That's perfect. Keep that going. Just the mere tinkling of bells can immediately change the atmosphere in a room. Barsky, please, bring it. Bring the sound of the season. If he can do that with a few bells, imagine what he could do with those little hands on a big old organ.
If you're going to a holiday music program, there's a good chance that a pipe organ will be one of the main instruments. What you might not know is that to keep these amazing instruments sounding as majestic as they look, it takes a lot of work by someone like Colin Walsh and his staff of organ builders.
All right, so the drill here then is to take some of the pipes back to the shop to do whatever you do.
Right. And out. Now watch your head.
Because this is an 8-year project, it was only necessary to take part of the pipes with us.
Nice. And these are really dirty. And we'll take those out and hand them down to the boys.
You guys are backed up. How many organs are you currently refurbishing or repairing here?
Building 3 new ones and 7 overall projects.
So are they broken? Do they just need to be tuned? Are they dirty?
They just need to be cleaned and straightened out.
Oh, yeah, it is kind of dirty in there, isn't it?
Look in the mouth. You can see down on the language how dirty it is.
Look in
the
what?
The mouth. That's called the mouth of the pipe.
The mouth.
The mouth.
The mouth of a pipe. And as you can see, this pipe has a dirty mouth.
It's a dirty mouth. Oh, no. That's not... No. You got to blow harder than that.
Yeah, you got to blow. Well, like I mean it.
Blow like I mean it, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, whoops. I get you.
It's nice the way you kind of whisper around the small ones, like you heard them.
He's very gentle.
Well, it's just this little wee pipe right here. You've got to be careful of the runner's mouth, you know. You don't want to be, you know, blown too hard.
But this big son of a... Well, hell.
Ho, ho, ho! If blowing the ash out of an organ in a sanctuary won't put you in the holiday spirit, I don't know what will. Maybe a bouncy camel ride through the countryside. Ho, ho!
In the Nativity story, the three wise men were most likely riding camels as they followed the star in the east. At the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona, California.
Let's look and see what we have here.
Nancy and Gil Rigler helped me recreate some of the excitements of that famous ride.
All right, let's ride some camels.
Okay.
Only the male camels are used for the rides. It gives them an activity they enjoy doing, and it gives the public an experience they will never forget. I mean, I certainly haven't forgotten my camel riding experience. Oh, no. Nope, not by a long shot.
So we give them a little bit of padding to make this a comfortable ride for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tall camel to saddle. It actually makes him a little bit more difficult to saddle just because he's so big.
Gush,
good
gush,
boy.
Gush.
Nice.
You know, Nancy
gush.
Warned me that camels might buck.
There you go, cowboy. Nice work.
Yippee-ki-yay.
She warned me that the saddle could slide off.
Mm-hmm.
She warned me
Perfect.
Not to let go.
How you doing, Tricia?
I'm tall.
Nice to see you. You're enormous. You're the biggest kid in school.
But Nancy did not warn me about a particularly male experience I might have while my camel gallops at 20 miles an hour.
There's a lot of pain, but it's exciting and it's fun, but there's a lot of pain.
That was wonderful.
I beat you. I kicked your butt.
You're a butt right now. Let's go again.
No, I think we've all made our point. I think everybody's cool.
We could
get another one. Yeah.
Yeah, back. Right
on. No. We'll get another one.
Do you need another shot, Dave?
Yeah, I'd love one.
I said, do you need one?
Yes.
All right, yeah, we're done.
Does that mean you're done?
Now let's do another one.
Easy.
You know, there's a famous symphony by Tchaikovsky. They usually play it around Christmas time. For some reason, it came to mind as I sat there upon my camel. Don't know why.
My, oh, a lot of pain again.
Funny the way the mind works.
I think we get the point.
Coming up, I drink in the beauty with my eyes of some gorgeous holiday parade floats.
Who hates parades? I do.
Thank you. I couldn't have put a better welcome back to the Dirty Jobs Holiday Extravaganza. We are celebrating in the only way that makes any sense for a program like this. We're making noise and blowing things up. Firecrackers. You gotta love them. I've always loved them, but I will confess, after I spent a day making them, I'll never look at them the same way again. After that day, in fact, I'm just glad I can look at anything at all.
The Chinese invented fireworks, which people around the world still use to celebrate the New Year and other holidays. The ancients believed the noise and fire dispelled evil spirits. Today, we use fireworks to help facilitate the uncorking and imbibing of copious amounts of alcohol. Albert Knobloch of the Little Big Shots in Addison, Pennsylvania, is going to show me how to make some of these explosive little bundles of joy.
That's a, come on. That's ordnance. Okay, it's dirty.
You haven't even started.
Ah, gets in the eyes, too.
Yeah, when you take a shower tonight, it's going to burn.
So why is it going to burn?
The dextrin burns your eyes.
Okay.
Other than two part-time helpers, Albert does all the work himself. Most of what he makes is built to order, but he does keep small stockpiles of the most popular items.
There you go.
Commercial fireworks contain a powdery concoction of chemicals that produce bangs and whistles. Big booms come from flash powder, once used for flashes and photography. It's a combination of a fuel-like metal and a chemical that feeds oxygen to fire up the fuel.
I'm blind. I'm completely blind.
Do you want to stop and clean your eyes out?
Well, if how would that work?
Well, we can...
Can you sprinkle some more charcoal in there?
No, we can take some clean water and you can wash them out, rub them out, and they'll burn for a while and then eventually they'll quit.
There's something in my eyes, I think it's called, what is it called?
Dextrin.
Dextrin. Oh, that's much worse. Searing pain, yeah. Huh?
I missed.
It's that fleshy thing in the middle of my face. Awful.
What the heck is this? Goggles.
Well, I would have given you maybe $1,000 for these a little while ago.
Ho, ho, ho! Fireworks are fun! You know what else is fun? Parades! Everybody loves a parade! Santa especially loves parades. But do you know who doesn't love a parade? I'll give you a hint.
That's right. 10 years ago, I was the victim of a horrible circumstance. I was living in New York City, trying to drive home for the Thanksgiving holiday. And like many others, I became hopelessly ensnarled in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was traumatic. I sat there, sandwiched between two giant floats, while my car slowly ran out of gas. Today, I'll have my revenge.
It's not just a hatred of parades, it's also an irrational fear, probably like some people's fear of clowns, that sense that something horrible is about to happen to me. It's silly, I know it. I mean, how much damage can rotting fruit and vegetables do?
Maybe it's just me, but Sean, do other people have an irrational fear of floats?
You might say that.
This is Sean, and he's the production manager at Phoenix Decorating Company. You guys are responsible for a lot of the floats in the Rose Bowl Parade.
We do about 20 to 25 every year.
All that rotten, stinking fruit and vegetation has just been putrefying, and we got to clean it up.
It's good stuff.
Thanks.
Who hates parades?
I do.
It's not just the floats that I hate, but the cute, cuddly little characters that inhabit them. Sure, they're the stuff of storybook tales, but for me, they're also the stuff of nightmares.
Who's laughing now? You know, the holidays can be a stressful time for some people, so if you feel yourself buckling under the weight of seasonal expectations, take my advice. Find yourself an old parade float. Tear it apart with your bare hands. You'll feel better about things, I promise. Speaking of promises, this will wrap up our first and probably last ever Dirty Jobs holiday extravaganza. And I did promise at the beginning to manage your expectations. This was to be a modest production, and I think we delivered on our guarantee. As Barsky contemplates his exit up a fiery flue, I'll leave you with this. On behalf of him and me and everybody here at Dirty Jobs and everybody at Discovery, have yourself a great holiday season. And do me a favor. Next time you see a fella out in the mall dressed up like this, give him a smile, a wave, a wink, a pat on the back. If he's anything like me, he's sweat through his fancy outfit, he's exhausted, and his beard smells like an old turkey. Ho, ho, ho. Hey, Mookie, have a beard. It's good.
Yes, no?
Yeah, let's try that.
Mike?
Go ahead.
Wait a minute, what are you looking for? Yikes. A real nutcracker.
All right, mate.
You saw the Yule log. Nothing to celebrate.
You good?
Santa's freezing his off.
Chewy?